In one sense, the scriptures today are about size, if that means anything. That beautiful first reading, the opening lines of the first reading from the Book of Wisdom. In your sight, Lord, the whole world is like a grain of dust that tips the scales, like a drop of morning dew falling on the ground. The smallest things, like a grain and like the dew, are still so valuable and so important in the eyes of God. God presents himself to us in many and surprising ways, no matter what our size. And so Jesus uses the example today. This is not a parable. This is an event that took place in Jericho, down near the Jordan. He uses the size and the stature of a man called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus only gets mentioned twice in the Bible, once only in the New Testament and once in the Old Testament. And the word Zacchaeus means pure. It means clean and innocent. The symbolism of that is the white garment that the newly baptized put on in the baptism sacrament at that celebration. And we actually had a baptism at the 8:30 Mass, which I knew because I was saying that Mass. So I was actually able to gear my whole reflection and homily towards the influence of baptism and prayer. And you may not think that we get that out of the story of Zacchaeus. It's just some mad guy climbing trees. But not so. Size does matter. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Therefore, and he was a senior tax collector, he was located in Jericho. Jericho is down near the Jordan, as I said. So it had entrances and exits to the city. They're still there. And what the tax collectors did was they manned tolls at the entrances and at the exits, and they would extract a toll from those coming in and going out of the city. So there were several of those exits and entrances. He was a senior tax collector, so these people who exacted the tolls worked for him. The money that they got worked for the Romans. So a senior tax collector and a tax collector would actually be very despised amongst the people, because on two levels he was working for the enemy, the Romans, and taking money from his own people. And of course he had to pay the wages of the other tax collectors, so there would be a toll fee and probably a little bit more. And we're told that Zacchaeus is a rich man. Now, rich in biblical terms at Jesus' time doesn't mean dollars and cents. Rich means the amount of status that you have and the property that you have. It wasn't necessarily linked to coinage or the economy. So he was a rich man. In one sense, the rich highlight what the poor don't have, which is usually somewhere to live and something to eat. Zacchaeus had all of that, but he didn't have size. He had an interest in Jesus. Now, this is where my reflection turns into, it's the story of prayer. If you want to understand prayer, think about this gospel. And you'll think, oh God, where's this mad priest going with this? Well, I'm going up a tree with it, okay? Jesus is walking along in the ministry in the course of his life. All of us, no matter what shape or size we are, well, at least you here today, want a glimpse of Jesus. Some of us know how to do that, some of us don't. Zacchaeus goes up the tree. Prayer is always about movement, right? It's never static. It's always about movement because it's a reflection of eternal life. So Zacchaeus, this little man, goes up, little man with a big attitude problem in his society, goes up the tree. Jesus is moving along. Jesus looks up, and the first thing he says, firstly, he notices Zacchaeus. So you, as tax collectors and sinners with me, you are noticed. The next thing that happens is Jesus calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Clean, pure, innocent. You wouldn't have thought of that with a tax collector who was despised by many in his own society. But Jesus says his name. So in our prayer, we who seek him, We know that Jesus will call our name if we would but seek him, if we would climb the tree. In one sense, excuse the pun, we have to go out on a limb. That grunt was not worthy of you, Pat. We have to go out on a limb. We cannot just sit back. We have to go out there. And then amazing things happen. We hear our name being called, and then we receive an invitation. And that invitation for Zacchaeus was, come down, I'm going to stay at your house. And of course, staying at the house meant that there was going to be a meal. And everybody else got upset about that because they'd already made their judgment about Jesus and about Zacchaeus, let alone bringing those two together. Prayer, symbolised in this gospel, is actually about a relationship. Some of you may remember last week I talked about the difference between religion, or what that which is religious, and that which is spiritual. And I said part of the difference is, the big difference is, that that which is spiritual is about a relationship. And prayer is a relationship. The name calling, giving him his name, establishes that relationship. It's what happens in baptism. The first thing I say to the parents is, what name have you given to your son or daughter? And then I ask, what do you ask of the church for your son or daughter? And the answer is baptism. It is, in a sense, echoing the conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus up and down the tree. And then Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house, and dynamic things happen. We come into the Lord's house, and dynamic things happen, if we want it to. But firstly, we have to be there. And that's the thing with prayer. All you got to do with prayer is turn up. And then Jesus will call your name. You've got to be open to that. You don't have to say too many words, and you don't have to spend hours on broken glass and bended knee. You simply have to turn up. And it changes lives. Zacchaeus, if you go back to the original Greek, it says in our gospel, I will give half my property. In the original Greek, it says there's no future tense. It says, I give. Zacchaeus is actually a good man, trapped in an awful job, but he's a good man. He already gives his property, we're told, from the original translation. I suspect that the was moved into the future tense when the translators wanted to highlight the next part, which was, if I have cheated anybody, I will pay them back four times. Now, you think that's excessive. In Leviticus, the rule for repaying theft is four times. The Roman rule is, once you were convicted of being a thief, you had to have the conviction, you were then required to repay 20% of what was stolen to the victim of the theft. So Zacchaeus actually more than fulfills his Moses' law obligation, as well as his Roman law obligation, if he has stolen from anybody. Now, that if, connected to what he's already doing, which is he does give property, that if means that Zacchaeus is a man of reflection, because he's thinking about, well, have I taken money wrongly from others or not? And that's what we need to do if we're going to connect this to prayer. We have to learn to be reflective people. We've got to stop, put ourselves out of the chaos of our life, and think about what it is I'm actually doing with my life. That's what the if means. Become reflective people. And in that time of reflection, we will probably hear our name being called. But you won't hear it if you've got little white things in your ear. You won't hear it if the TV's blasting away. You may hear it through the cries of children. It may come through the cries of children, that great sign of life. But all you have to do when it comes to prayer, like Zacchaeus, is turn up. And Jesus will do the rest. And then one day you may just hear, and you might be at like our last baptism, you might just hear those beautiful words from today's gospel. Today, salvation has come to this house.